Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. You know, I love a good research paper. And this one you sent about global smart education policies. Well, let's just say it's got me thinking.
It's dense.
It is. But it's fascinating how it pulls together all these trends from around the world. Like, we're getting a sneak peek at the future of education.
Absolutely. And it's not just hype. The authors actually lay out this whole evolution of smart education. I mean, from
the beginning.
Yeah. Focusing on, you know, just good old-fashioned human intelligence to what we see now, this really interesting integration of AI and data analysis into how we learn. Kind of amazing, actually.
And we're past the theory stage now. Too many countries are actually using these smart education ideas in their schools.
Which is where their National Smart Education Framework comes in. I mean, it's really practical. They break it down into four main parts. You've got forward-thinking governance, building smart learning environments, how teaching has to change, and then these big picture considerations.
And get this, UNESCO is on board with this framework, which is a big deal, but it's not like a rule book. More like
it's adaptable.
Exactly. Each country can adjust it to fit their own needs and resources.
It's like a flexible blueprint to make education smarter.
Okay, I love that. So using this framework, what are some of the global trends the paper highlights?
Well, one thing that really stood out was this emphasis on governance. Like, it's not enough to just throw some tablets in a classroom and call it a day.
Right. It has to be more than that.
Way more countries are realizing they need an actual strategy, a clear vision for how they want to use tech in education.
Oh, like a plan.
Exactly. Like Singapore. They got this super detailed, what they call EdTech plan. It maps out all their goals all the way to 2030.
Wow. That's planning ahead.
Right. And it's not just vague ideas either. They're talking about the specific things they want to do, like using AI to give each student their own learning path or using virtual reality to create these immersive learning experiences. Pretty cool stuff.
That is cool. But none of that matters without the infrastructure to support it. I mean,
no, absolutely.
The paper stresses how important reliable internet is. It even talks about how the EU is pushing for full Wi-Fi in all their schools. Like, it's a basic right up there with electricity.
And it makes sense. I mean, we've all been frustrated with bad Wi-Fi. Imagine trying to learn with that.
Yeah, good point. But it's not just about the gadgets, right? The human element is still so important. The paper talks a lot about digital skills for teachers.
And some countries are taking that really seriously. The Maldives, they went ahead and created official ICT competency standards for teachers.
Wow, so they're not messing around.
Nope. These standards aren't just about knowing how to turn on a computer. They cover things like digital teaching methods, understanding data, and even the ethics of using AI in education.
So they're really preparing their teachers for a whole new world of education.
Exactly. But here's the thing. While countries are focused on digital skills for teachers, the paper points out that many are behind when it comes to AI literacy.
No.
Meaning everyone's excited about AI, but not everyone knows how to actually teach it or use it well in the classroom.
So it's one thing to use AI. It's another to understand it.
Precisely. Now, another big trend is the rise of these really sophisticated digital learning environments. I'm talking online platforms, educational apps, virtual classrooms, the whole works.
Basically everything.
Everything. And this is where it gets interesting because it's not just about the technology itself. It's about how it's designed and used.
Because even with the best intentions, technology can be misused.
Exactly. And the paper highlights some countries that are being proactive about this, like Wales and France. They're really focused on making sure these digital learning environments are safe, fair, and ethically sound.
I'm glad they're thinking about that from the start.
Yeah, it's not just about having cool gadgets. It's about using them responsibly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the paper also talks about how teaching itself is changing.
Oh, yeah.
And one big trend is this move towards blended learning. you know, combining in-person and online approaches.
Makes sense, right? It's like taking the best of both worlds.
Exactly. And real-time feedback is another big one. The paper says that some schools in the U.S. are even using WhatsApp for this.
Really?
Yeah, teachers are giving instant feedback on assignments, answering questions right away, even having virtual office hours.
Wow, that's definitely different.
Right. It just shows how technology can change the traditional classroom.
For sure.
And it's not just about how we teach. It's also about how we assess learning.
Absolutely. The paper talks about this growing idea of using technology to personalize assessments. So it's not just about grades anymore. It's about focusing on higher order thinking skills.
Because anyone can memorize facts, right?
Yeah.
But being able to think critically and solve problems, those are the skills that really matter.
Exactly. And that's what the U.S. is emphasizing in their National Educational Technology Plan for 2024. They're really pushing for assessments that measure those 21st century skills.
Which makes sense because the world is changing so fast.
It is. And speaking of the real world, the paper also talks about developing responsible digital citizens, people who can navigate the digital world safely and responsibly.
Which is so important because it's not enough to just hand kids a tablet and say, go learn.
Yeah.
We need to teach them how to use technology in a way that benefits everyone.
It's about empowering them to be good digital citizens.
Exactly. Now, for all these positive trends, the paper also talks about the challenges like the digital divide.
Which is a big one.
It is. But what I found interesting is how the U.S. NetEP breaks the digital divide into three parts: access, design, and use.
Okay, tell me more about those.
Well, the access divide is the most obvious. It's about who has access to devices and good internet, the basic tools you need to be a part of the digital world.
Which is still a huge problem in many places.
Absolutely. Then you've got the design divide. This one's interesting because it's about whether the technology itself is designed in a way that works for all learners.
So, like, is the technology accessible to students with disabilities?
Exactly. Or is the content culturally relevant and engaging for students from different backgrounds?
It's about making sure technology itself doesn't create new barriers.
Exactly. And then there's the digital use divide, which looks at how effectively the technology is being used for learning.
So two schools could have the same technology, but one might be using it in a much more effective way.
Exactly. And that's where things like teacher training and school culture come in.
It's complicated.
It is. But by breaking down the digital divide like this, we can start to understand it better and find solutions.
Absolutely. And even though the digital divide is a big challenge, the paper says that many countries are committed to making smart education better all the time.
It's a work in progress.
Definitely. Like, the U.S. updates its NetEP every 5 years, and South Korea has a similar system with their 5-year plans for technology and education. They're constantly learning and improving.
Like updating your software to make sure it has the latest features.
Exactly. It's an ongoing process for sure. And it's not all on the schools either. The paper talks about how important partnerships are.
Makes sense. You need everyone on board.
Yeah. It's not just governments or schools navigating this new world of smart education. It requires collaboration. Everybody's got to work together, schools, communities, businesses, even international organizations.
Because we all benefit from a more educated world.
Exactly. And a good example of this is the UK. They've got this policy called Enhancing Digital Resilience in Education. And they're really focused on building these partnerships to make sure that smart education benefits everyone.
So it's about creating this whole support system around education.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of support, this paper got me thinking. It lays out this great framework, highlights all these positive trends, but it doesn't really dig into the potential downsides of all this technology and education, which, you know.
Yeah, it seems like an important thing to consider.
Right, because with any big societal shift, there are always going to be challenges, things you don't expect.
Unintended consequences.
Exactly. And with something as important as education, we have to be really careful about how we use technology.
So let's play devil's advocate here. What are some potential downsides to smart education that we should be thinking about?
Well, one thing that worries me is that instead of making education more equal, smart education could actually widen the gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Really? I thought the whole point of using technology was to make education more accessible for everyone.
That's the idea, but just giving everyone a tablet or a laptop isn't enough. We have to be really smart about how we use the technology. Otherwise, we risk creating a system where students who already have advantages, those with the latest gadgets, good internet access, parents who are tech savvy, they're the ones who will benefit the most while others get left behind.
So it's not just about the technology itself, it's about everything surrounding it.
Exactly. And that means investing in things like teacher training, making sure teachers know how to use technology. Well, it means making sure all families have the resources to be digitally literate. And it means giving students the tech support they need so they're not held back by a broken computer or bad internet.
It's about leveling the playing field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, another concern, and this one's a bit more about how we measure success, is that smart education could lead to an overemphasis on standardized testing and data.
Because it's easy to measure test scores.
Exactly. But it's a lot harder to measure things like creativity, critical thinking, empathy, you know, those human skills that don't show up on a spreadsheet.
Right. And those skills are still important.
Incredibly important.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, this focus on data could make us focus too much on those easily measurable outcomes. And we might end up sacrificing other important skills that are harder to measure, but just as important for student success in life.
So we need to find a balance.
Absolutely. And this focus on data could even stifle creativity in the classroom.
How so?
Well, if we're always relying on algorithms and standardized tests to measure learning, are we accidentally limiting students' ability to think outside the box, to experiment, to take risks?
Because sometimes the best learning comes from making mistakes.
Exactly. And true innovation often comes from questioning things, trying new things, and not being afraid to fail. And that doesn't always fit neatly into a system that's all about data and getting the right answer.
So how do we make sure that smart education helps creativity instead of hurting it?
Well, for one thing, we need to give teachers the freedom to use technology in a way that works for them and their students. And we need to create learning environments that encourage experimentation and collaboration. Because if we're too focused on getting the right answer, we might miss out on those unexpected discoveries that lead to real breakthroughs.
It's about using technology as a tool, not a rule book.
Exactly. Now, another potential downside, and this one's a bit deeper, is how smart education might affect the relationship between teachers and students.
Interesting. I haven't thought about that.
Well, as technology gets more advanced and personalized learning becomes more common, there's a risk that the role of the teacher could change, maybe even be diminished.
So instead of being seen as mentors and guides, teachers might become more like tech support.
That's one possibility. And while technology can definitely help teachers with some tasks, it's important to remember that teaching is, at its heart, a human connection.
It's about building relationships and inspiring a love of learning.
Exactly. And those are things that technology, no matter how advanced, can't replace.
So we need to be careful not to lose sight of that.
Absolutely. And this actually ties into another concern I have, which is that smart education could create a generation of passive learners who rely too much on technology.
So instead of learning to think for themselves, students might just expect technology to do the thinking for them.
Exactly. And it's easy to see how that could happen, right? We live in a world where information is everywhere. You can Google anything.
But just because you can Google something doesn't mean you understand it.
Right. It's the ability to think critically about that information, to analyze it, to use it. That's where real learning happens.
So we need to make sure students are learning how to think, not just how to use Google.
Exactly. We need to teach them how to evaluate information, how to tell the difference between fact and opinion, how to form their own arguments and back them up with evidence.
It's about teaching them to be critical thinkers.
Precisely. And that requires a shift in how we teach and how we assess learning.
So less memorization, more real-world application.
Exactly. Because in the end, the goal of education isn't just to prepare students for jobs. It's to prepare them for life. And that means giving them the skills they need to be adaptable, resilient, and well-rounded individuals who can thrive in a world that's constantly changing.
It's about finding that balance, right?
Yeah.
Using the amazing power of technology, but also making sure we don't lose sight of those human skills that are always going to be important.
Absolutely. And that's what I like about this paper. It's not trying to give us all the answers, but it does get you thinking, you know? It gives us this framework for thinking about smart education, but it's up to us to figure out how to make it work in the real world.
Because there's no one right answer.
Exactly. What works in one school or one country might not work somewhere else. And even in the same classroom, you're going to have students with different needs, different learning styles.
So we need to be flexible.
We do. And that's why it's so important to keep talking about technology and education. We need to be honest about the good and the bad and always, always put students first.
It's about being thoughtful, not just chasing the latest trends.
Exactly. And you know, this paper got me thinking about something. They talk a lot about preparing students for the future, for a world that's full of technology. But what if the most important skills for that future aren't the ones that technology can do for us?
Okay, now you've got me really thinking, what kind of skills are we talking about?
Well, take empathy, for example. Being able to really understand and connect with other people on an emotional level.
Because even with AI and robots, we're still going to need to work together, right?
Exactly. And those are skills that technology can't really teach you, at least not yet. You need emotional intelligence, self-awareness, all those things that make us human.
So it's not just about teaching students how to use technology. It's about teaching them how to be better humans.
Exactly. And that might mean rethinking what we teach in schools. Maybe we need to put more emphasis on things like art and music and literature subjects that help students develop their creativity and empathy and understanding of the human experience.
Because it's not just about getting a job, it's about living a good life.
Well said. And I think that's a great place to wrap up. This deep dive into global smart education policies has been fascinating. It's a complex issue with no easy answers, but it's a conversation that we need to be having.
It really is. So to everyone listening, we want to hear from you. What are your hopes and concerns about the future of education? What skills do you think will be most important for students to learn? Head over to our website or find us on social media and let us know. And as always, thanks for taking this deep dive with us.